future land use on the agenda today, and we have an hour. So I wanted to see how we wanted to best spend our time. I was going to start with just a quick refresher, because we haven't talked about this as a group in quite a few weeks. So the 08 element includes information on the existing land uses. It lists out the municipalities in the county. It has a map of developed and protected lands. Talks about pace of development, so, you know, the building permits that have been occurring in the county, where development has been occurring in the county, has some goals for future land use, talks about the structure of the future land use, the various planning areas, so the growth areas and the rural areas, and what the different designations in each one of those means. It mentions the state strategies for policies and spending, and then it has the future land use map. And then it has just a brief paragraph about each of these other various sections, which I think are being covered throughout the rest of our elements to this point. So there may be some that we want to elaborate on, but a lot of these we do cover elsewhere. So this was the map from 08, and this has the 2016 municipal annexation areas on top of it. The annexation areas are the hatched dots, the brown dotted areas. And then there's the different areas that are considered growth versus rural areas. So just for a refresher, the town centers in 08 were considered parts of municipal future annexation areas. They ranged in housing types from medium to high density, 4 to 12 units per acre, generally adjacent to commercial and retail uses. Developing areas are those newer emerging growth areas, usually located near main arterial roads, often within future annexation areas, with potential to be served by future sewer and water. Housing types are a little bit lower density here, so 2 units per acre with a density bonus option to go up to 4 units per acre. The ESDA, which everyone's familiar with as well, so that's an overlay area on the 08 future land use map. They're considered desirable locations for new housing. They have environmentally important wetlands and coastal lands, different housing types. The underlying density does prevail because it is an overlay, but in general, it's mostly 2 units per acre with the option to go up to 4 units per acre with the density bonus. And you can also net out wetlands, tidal wetlands, when calculating the net tract size. Then there's a few mixed residential areas on the future land use map, and these are generally existing residential development where residential development is proposed under GRMR zoning districts. Non-residential development is not encouraged. The density here is 4 units per acre, single family, 12 units per acre, multifamily, and central water and sewer preferred. Highway commercial, there's a few of these noted on the future land use map, and these are generally your commercial shopping centers, other large commercial vicinities geared toward vehicular traffic. These could include areas for hotels, motels, et cetera, car washes. There's some planned industrial areas on the map, and these are areas where industrial uses would include the heavier industrial, light industry, and warehousing and flex space. And then everything else on the map is low density areas, so that's your AR1, your protected lands, and your ag preservation districts. This is
Can we go back to the map, just to tie that back in?
Sure.
So, just looking at the highway commercial. It doesn't really show, does it?
It's the red. It's like these, and there's not a lot of it, honestly. I could do a calculation on how many acres are in the 08 plan for highway commercial, but it's generally along your commercial corridors in some scattered places here.
The big question is how much of it's not already, you know, developed.
And I can overlay that over the, do you mean with the zoning or what's actually developed?
Well, I mean, we had some testimony way long ago about a lack of open commercial space. Undeveloped commercial zoning, and so that's, you know, I think that's the bigger question, is not how much is already developed, but how much is either vacant or undeveloped, because I think one person, I mean, if somebody remembers differently, said that, you know, 1 acre on Route 1 was like $1 million of commercial for the 1 acre. So that's just telling you that there's just not enough inventory to make a competitive marketplace.
And I'm just trying to get my code up. So in the code, it talks about the highway corridor, what is it, overlay, Janelle, right? But it's more than that. It talks about being tied.
Oh, it's tied to the combined highway corridor overlay zone. Yeah. Is tied to 1, 113, and 13. So it doesn't actually matter the zoning classification.
Right.
It is along those roads, and it is just 1, 113, and 13.
Well, and that's why I wanted to see that map, because that just, to me, and I'd have to go back and read the text, but the map there doesn't jive with, if we're talking about the same thing for the red, it doesn't jive with what's in the code. It doesn't rezone anything, but it just says, you know, this is appropriate for that, and the code triggers certain buffers and things like that, but it just, yeah.
The combined corridor highway overlay zone is to provide continued and efficient use of existing roadways and emergency evacuations routes to preserve and enhance the aesthetic and visual character of lands contiguous to those roadways, and to provide for orderly development in the county. So that goes to, you know, you could be zoned AR1 and you'd have to comply. MR, you'd still have to comply with, and that's just a 20-foot landscape buffer along those highways.
And they omitted those 404 roads. From that?
It is.
The time, yeah, no way.
It is currently just 1, 113, and 13.
Wow.
And it only goes 500 or 600 feet out from those roads that's impacted.
Right. But why wouldn't it, I just, you know, as we're sitting here talking about, that's a good example, why wouldn't they have matched? So you're right, you know, if you're AR1, you still got to comply with it, but it seems like Highway Corridor should have also said, well, this is appropriate for things to be zoned commercial. Maybe it's like two different things, I guess. But.
It really is. This is an intent. The combined highway corridor overlay zone was an intent to more or less preserve the aesthetic.
Yeah.
So as you're going down and you're developing, you have a buffer, an aesthetic landscape buffer to look at, and not just say you're building all the way up the front or you're parking. You're looking at a parking lot as you're going down. You're looking at more green space, and then everything's kind of behind that.
That was a corridor preservation component to it, right?
That might be part of the reason where that came from.
Yeah, I think that was all tied into the corridor preservation.
But, I mean, because they're looking in the comp plan in 08, it said, I don't want to get too specific on this, but it said highway commercial areas include concentrations of retail and service uses that are mainly located along highways as opposed to small traditional downtown areas that are often historic and pedestrian-friendly. Highway commercial areas include highway commercial corridors, shopping centers, and other large commercial vicinities geared towards vehicular traffic. It talks about, you know, in addition to primary shopping destination, should be appropriate place to locate hotels, motels, car washes, you know, basically larger scale commercial, what it says, not primarily targeted to the residents of immediately adjacent residential uses. And then I look at that, and there's hardly any. You know?
Right. There's not a lot of highway commercial, and this might be also a time to rebroach the subject of if we've been discussing a number of updates to commercial districts.
Yeah, where does that stand?
Still working on that. It's going through the process.
Okay.
But I don't think some of those actually, I think, would fit into a highway commercial land use classification. So I don't know if there's a need for a different, you know, commercial land use classification or something else to reflect that, to give a better sense of where, you know, certain commercial development should occur, because I think some of those commercial developments, the commercial districts, were definitely geared to be along the highway, but some of them definitely are geared towards being more into closer to the neighborhoods and not along the highways. And right now, the way the highway commercial land use is designed, it is primarily for along the major roads. So I think
it
that's
says
just
major collectors that wouldn't cut. That wouldn't capture it all because some of the roads aren't major collectors.
Right.
Yeah.
So
how do
but
we...
But that just seems like, I mean, I'm just looking at that map in 08, like, what's shown up there, and I mean, I was around for that plan, and I know Mr. Wheatley was too. All we did basically was just show what existed at the time. There wasn't any future of anything on that for highway commercial.
So you think you took the zoning and just made that...
That's what it was, the existing
zoning. They took the existing zoning and took anything that was commercial.
I think there's a little bit beyond, but not a lot beyond what was already zoned commercial. So there's definitely an opportunity to look and see, okay, what could be commercial in the future, or I know we've had a number of discussions, more purple, which is the industrial.
Yeah, right.
Well, where are, where's more appropriate areas, or should those areas that are currently purple be expanded to be more purple? I think
AB zones or AB right. overlay is what we're leaning towards now, rather than a district. And even commercial, I mean, instead of, could we do an overlay like that, Vince, as opposed to a, you know, rezoning properties?
Yeah.
I mean, could we just do an overlay on...
And you're saying this is appropriate in this
yeah,
area.
And not yeah. do a, you know, because you get into a parcel by parcel and it's just...
Well, so, that's exactly with the AB zone is what my point is exactly yeah. with the highway commercial. It's like, you're not saying you have to rezone this to commercial, but... You know, along 13 or 113, for instance, you know, we say this is where larger scale commercial should go. Why wouldn't we? Because so right now, for example, if you look at that map, just thinking out loud, if somebody came in on 13 and applied, you know, the argument could be made it's not consistent with the future
right.
land
yeah.
use map, which doesn't make any sense now going back.
And then it all comes back to the table, because in the low density, mm-hmm. it does say that CR1 could be a considered zoning
yeah,
classification. So I think this is really where we need to take a good
table.
Look.
It's right here.
Take a look at the table, and then, you know, do we need maybe different colors or more color on the map to better define where, as Mr. Ross, you've been mentioning more density. Well, where should that be focused, you know?
Well,
if we're
going to
do other things.
I mean, if we tied it to central sewer again, central sewer and water, then it naturally occurs where we're putting the infrastructure in, right? I mean, we're not going to necessarily encourage central sewer and water out in near Gumbrel necessarily, right? So if is there a way to tie that CR or whatever zoning, commercial zoning in general, to where central sewer and water is available?
Well, I think it's the way we want to classify the land use classification. You know, if we, because again, Hans has said land use is not tied to sewer. He is. I'm just repeating what
I know,
he has said.
I had the same conversation with him.
So
he's in denial, but I mean, you know, it's okay.
I think it doesn't hurt to look at them.
We'll
but,
make
you
a
know,
player out of him yet.
No, and he's right. It's not totally. It's certainly not totally. But, you wouldn't take the map and overlay. Yeah.
But you definitely. I think if you've got, you know, sewer and water, I mean, should that really be a low density area? Or should that be something different? Should that be more commercial? Should we be putting industrial there? Should we put, you know, the town center? I think that's something we need to have that discussion. And then that's why, you know, when we get into a lot of detail moving forward, we have all of those layers. We can turn them all on and off and overlay them on top of each other to see, okay, you know, recognize all of that information, because I know we were also looking at the town annexation areas, and I think the last time we got into land use in any detail, we were thinking town center is still a good land use designation for the annexation mm-hmm. areas for the towns that
right.
they have recognized, because that allows for a little bit higher density
yeah.
mix of
yeah,
zoning classifications, a little bit more commercial industrial uses.
And in that scenario, county water and sewer is not an issue. Because
right.
the town centers are going to get their water and sewer from the towns if they, you know.
Well, we're discussing joint.
Unless we go with like a Western
yeah,
Sussex Sewer District or
yeah.
something where the county's participating with the towns. But the water and sewer is going to be critical to zoning. I mean,
yeah.
to land use. I mean, I know what Hans is saying is that he doesn't want it to necessarily to drive it, but the reality is there are certain things that just don't work very well without it. So why would we do those things where there wasn't sewer? So you're going to look to see where the sewer is and say, well, then maybe this is appropriate for a higher density or commercial or whatever. I mean, just
well, let's think about this, and we've got time. We don't have to solve this dilemma today. Let's think about how this might look.
Okay, that's your homework for next week.
Yeah, and I mean, Mr. Hopkins is not here, but. Even for myself, I think it might be good to sit down with Vince, maybe one-on-one, to just get some history on what the legal importance and all. Would that be okay with you, Vince, if somebody
sure.
asked? So I encourage
shoe
you.
Shoehorn
know,
it in.
Shoehorn it in, yeah. 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 I mean, you got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
He's in his money-making years. He's 50-ish, you know.
He's got kids in college.
Yes, yeah. And then, you know, we'll just keep working at it.
Plugging away at it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just want to give history of what the 08 element is, how it was set up currently, these different areas, these planning areas, this table we're going to have to revisit. So start thinking about this table, too, and some of the loopholes in the table, like Janelle's pointing out, by putting CR in low density, CR1 in low density, that's how it was got around.
Well,
last
by
time.
The time we get done, that's going to be closed. You know, the CR.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be any CR. It'll CR1 will be closed, and we'll have these others, and we're going to have to address which one of those fall into those boxes. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, let's just. Vincent, I know, is working very, very hard on all of his spare time on that zoning ordinance.
And the table might be a little bit clearer if we went by the land use classification.
Yeah, it's not a clear table.
With the zoning districts and not, say, low to medium density.
Right.
So if we said environmentally sensitive developing area, these are appropriate zonings in that land use classification, or in the low density, these are appropriate or could be appropriate zoning classification. So it's a little bit, it ties back to the map and the narrative a little bit better.
That's what we should do. We should go ahead and work on this box first.
Let's take a stab at what that would look like.
Take a stab on the box, and then we can reference it, and we may have to come back and forth. Two things that aren't in there. I think we were thinking about putting a placeholder for a hotel district. Not that we're planning on one, but in a 10-year period, we may decide we want one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the AB overlays, I don't know how that fits into this box or not.
Yeah.
And then we can go ahead, even though the ordinance isn't finalized, we can go ahead and look at the new commercial ordinance and see where those different districts might fit into
the different current.
Yeah, even though we haven't finalized it, we know we're going to, which we're going to get there.
I mean, is it where is it in the process? No. Is it the point where there's going to be mega changes, or is it pretty solid?
We had a meeting. It's going to require some more work. I'll just leave it at that. So.
Yeah, but it's okay to be thinking about those categories aren't going to change, right? I mean,
the categories aren't going to change.
So
I don't expect.
Let's just look at the categories in kind of a broad spectrum, and then we can fine tune that as we move along.
And a horrible, maybe crazy concept is maybe leaving the ability to, if something happens within the next 10 years, that maybe we have the opportunity to amend the plan as we go forward to recognize if there's an ordinance like, oh, that makes complete sense, and then we can go back and add it to that.
It's not desirable, but it's always an option.
Yeah, usually you try to leave yourself a little bit of wiggle room because I mean, we're doing a really good job of trying to incorporate everything, but there's could always be something that, you know, drone flying could, you know, come out that we need to start addressing, and it's nowhere mentioned in the comp plan. So, you know,
keep it in mind too. This is the first one we will have done for 10 years because this was a 5-year plan.
Well, Janelle, let's go ahead and work on this box, okay? Between
we'll coordinate over the next
and
week.
And then as soon as you know, maybe I don't know if you don't have enough to do, but when we can get, you know, a little bit something out to the commission to digest.
Okay.
And you're going to organize it by the areas.
By
the
future land use areas.
See how that kind of washes.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
No, it's not. Yeah.
So, yeah, like a little cheat. It's almost like a cheat sheet, you know.
Yeah. This really is the cheat sheet because the narrative kind of goes, okay, this is what the narrative is, this is what it is, and then the table's kind of going, well, this is how you get to that narrative and what makes sense. So
the sheet that you need to have right. So.
Yeah, this is a very important table.
Okay, and then just a little more on the history. So well, here's the zoning, if anyone wanted to look at the zoning today. I have that up here. And it's also in that map, which we've showed before, the online map, which we can look at future workshops where we can turn things on and off. But here's the zoning. You can see where the commercial is. Oops, here we go. So it does actually kind of match up with.
But that's a vibrant map, too. That's always on the move, right?
Yeah.
Where's the growth overlay, the growth zones?
I don't have them overlaid because it's too messy to do on a paper static map, but here they are.
Yeah. If there was a way that we could pull out everything but just the growth areas, the town centers and all that.
Say that again?
Without the colors, just the boundaries.
Pull out the boundaries of the future land use areas?
Yeah, the colors, because the colors, you can't see them. Or highlight the perimeter, the boundaries of the growth areas. You've got environmentally sensitive development area. town center, developing area, mixed residential. And I think I would almost stop there. What do you think?
Well, typically you show the colors on a land use map because there's actually...
He's saying so you can kind of...
So we can go to the online map if you want to turn things on and off. If there's areas you want to look at today, we can do that.
It's not clear, but because we're thinking about adjusting those growth area boundaries, flexing them out to provide room for the additional growth in the 30-year period, 10 years specifically. But, you know, so it would be, if the boundaries of the current growth areas were clear...
I could do something in GIS where it's like a clip where I take the zoning and clip it with the boundaries, and then it shows you everything that's not in the zoning. So you can see,
Want
to see something like that? So it's going to show you everything that's not in the zoning.
Yeah,
it's extra.
Especially
it's going to show you the extra.
If we're going to reference the growth areas in the chart, right, then we really need to be very careful about, you know, where we flex those out, because that impacts everything else. You understand?
Yeah. I'll try to see how we can visually show it. And like I said, we have it on the online map. We can turn them on and off, but it's kind of...
It's almost like, you know, the old maps, we'd have the paper one with the transparency.
Right?
Yeah. That worked pretty darn well. It's just hard to make them. It wasn't as easy to mess with.
Right, and mapping was working with us, so when we start using the online map, we have different transparencies, so you can actually see through... Because some of these are definitely colors, and then,
like,
you know, so you can then see the layers beneath
here.
Them.
If I switch
what
the
I think
slide
you're saying
over,
is like if
to...
you, with that one, if you overlay the future land use on the zoning, you won't see the zoning anymore.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The zoning is less important than the future land use areas, the growth areas, and et cetera.
Yeah, because you can see along 13.
Right, Mom.
The current zoning, you've got a lot of red, but if you go to the land use map...
You don't know where those dang colors are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bunch of different colors, so...
Yeah.
See, I can just flip them back and forth here. You can see where the...
But yeah, when we start digging down, we definitely have all of that online, and we can turn them on and off as we go through and look at them.
Okay, this is a good place to start. Yeah.
So just a refresher, this is the process back in 08 that was used to figure out future land use. They looked at the proximity to incorporated municipalities or annexation areas. They looked at presence of existing public sewer and public water, plans for the county to provide public sewer in 5 years, location on or near major roads, character and intensity of the surrounding development, including proposed development, location relative to preserved lands, areas, environmental character, and how the area ranks according to the Delaware strategies. And then from that, this is actually the changes that were made. So they added lands to the annexation areas of certain municipalities in their comp plans. So lands added to the annexation areas. Okay. So they included annexation areas in 08 that were different
from
the previous.
For the municipalities or OSPC or whatever. Yeah.
Yep, so those were made into town centers. Any zoning map changes that were approved by county council since the previous plan was completed? So if something was previously whatever AR and it got rezoned to commercial, then that may have become a commercial, highway commercial future land use area. And then there's a few selected new developing areas that they singled out where density might be increased from the current zoning. And that those are the peach, like the orange color. I'm sorry, no, the yellow area. And to that point with the developing areas, so I didn't have this on the agenda for today, but at the last future land use workshop, this group gave me direction to take a look at where the CPCNs for water and sewer overlap, and then overlay the parcel boundaries to see where subdivisions were forming, and then to overlay the building permits to see which homes are, you know, starting to get built. We did that, and we can do that at the next workshop. I didn't know we'd have enough time today, but we have those areas, and I'm going to include that as a PDF map in your packets for the next workshop, so you can see some of these areas that kind of pop up as they could be potential developing areas for the next plan.
Can we go back to that last list?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, because, you know, it just seems to me, I don't know that we've kind of talked about a lot of different things, but that to have a list of guidelines like that. Otherwise, it's just going to be so ad hoc when we go through future land use. I'm just wondering if that, just lends to that. It seems like it's a kind of a good place to start, really. You know, like when you all are considering.
The only thing we have that I can see now that we didn't have then would have been, we didn't have the tier maps for the sewer.
Yeah, right, right.
And we didn't have the maps for the housing needs.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't have the other utilities, so electric and natural gas and those items too.
Right.
We have way more utility information this time than we've ever had before.
Yeah, and so the utilities, especially the internet and the natural gas electricity.
Mm-hmm. But that's probably
and I think we're rightfully more mindful of those things now than last time we did this. I mean, the internet's been around, but we weren't talking about it like we are today. I mean,
everybody didn't have one on their waist. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I mean, this is.
We didn't have the mapping capability.
No, and that's the other thing. We've got a lot more capability now, so we can address these things and do layer after layer, really, if we need to.
We were just talking about the different, all the different things to look at, if there's a way to look at them all together.
Well, you know, there's the industrial component, you know, the manufacturing type component is one thing that we kind of want to keep away from some of the residential areas, which is why we're looking at the AD overlay. Mm-hmm. And then there's the residential component, and those are kind of two separate things. We'll have to look at those separately, I think, as we move forward. Everybody pays attention to the residential because traffic and all those things, but the commerce is generated by the other, and so we'll have to maybe use a little different parameter when we get to the industrial side. But let's focus on the residential right now.
Okay, so in your packets, we haven't looked at these since March. At the March meeting, at that point, we hadn't touched a lot of the chapters with this group, so
It was really March.
It was like the last day of March, the 30th or something. We had gone over some preliminary goals, objectives, and strategies with the understanding that things would be added later as we started working through the chapters. We just wanted to get it future land use in everyone's radar with this group, just to start thinking about it as a group as we work through the other chapters through the spring, which we've been doing. So these are the goals, objectives, and strategies from that discussion, and then I went through the chapters that we've been working with this group on so far and pulled strategies that kind of jointly fall under that element plus future land use, and you can see I put them in parentheses if it's from another element where they kind of fall in under this outline of goals, objectives, and strategies. And, you know, there's still some holes that we'll need to work on filling. The two elements that I didn't put the strategies over yet are housing, just because we were still working those out today, and then mobility. Once we get the final list of those, we'll work all those into and see where they fit. But there was one new strategy that I did put in here based on a conversation Vince directed to me I wanted to point everyone's attention to, 5.1.3.2. This was something that came out of County Council, I believe?
Yeah, so this one, so County Council has been at times, and it came up in the, I think, partially in the context of the commercial zoning stuff we're working on. They've used the term sunsetting of rezonings. You know, and that's one of those that maybe sounds good in theory, but not in practice. The way this is worded, I think, makes more sense is just go back and look at what you've done. There may be things that have worked or not worked, but there shouldn't be an automatic sunset, because if you do that, you can never effectively plan for the future, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There's no way to sunset zoning.
Yeah.
Now, going back to look at what you did, I mean, that was one of the best exercises we have undertaken as a commission when we went back to Bayside to see how what we decided worked out, to see how it worked out. And I absolutely think that both bodies should do that on a regular basis. Go back and look at what you did. You may not have to physically go out and look at it, but revisit the decisions that are made to see what their real effect was. I think that's great, but the idea that you're going to sunset zoning just sort of defeats the whole purpose of it. There's no predictability.
I think there's some different uses to that. One is, if you do a regular look back, and just to see where things have gone, you might find rezonings that are now stale based on what's occurred around them, that's one thing. And county council and the commission as well always have the opportunity to start the rezoning process. It doesn't have to be an application for a property owner. The commission and council can, advertise it, have the public hearings and go through that process. The other thing is too, that way if you're having like a 5-year look back or whatever it is, 7 years, whatever, you also know a little bit better what your inventory is. 5 years ago we rezoned a whole bunch of stuff to whatever, and 90% of it got built, or 10% of it got built, but at least you kind of know what's going on in the county a little better. I just think that's a useful tool, but sunsetting is, and we do it for subdivisions, that makes sense because the
right
laws change and everything, but
there should be the same due process for changing.
Yeah, there would have to be.
It should be the same for the county as it is for an applicant.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what, when you get to where the rubber meets the road and you design an ordinance that defines the process.
Yeah,
that would be.
And it certainly goes without saying that the current landowner's opinion would weigh pretty heavily.
Yeah, right.
In that situation, I mean, for heaven's sakes, somebody. To rezone somebody's property against their will seems to be a pretty serious undertaking.
And so I don't look at this strategy as requiring an ordinance. To me, that's just something that staff does.
Something you do.
Yeah, sure. Right. Because the other thing is too, this is completely hypothetical, but if the county did determine that it ought to start the process to rezone somebody's property back to, say, AR1. If you're just looking at that one person and it's not part of an overall review, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. This way there would be a...
Janelle, do we have an inventory at this point? Do we have an inventory of HI1, LI1, LI2, C1, CR1?
We can get that from GIS. Based on the new zoning map, which is...
It'll calculate it for you if you ask it to, is that what you're saying?
We could do that, yes. I can tell you that most of the county is zoned AR1.
So wait, what's the question, Bob?
The
percentage of the zoning districts.
It's not AR1 I'm not so much concerned about as I am as HI, LI1, and LI2, really, are the
and
three
maybe
that...
commercial.
Yeah, the three, yeah, and then to commercial as well. The place that I think we're sorely lacking, though, are in all of our industrial classifications. We just don't have, we have all this talking about, about wanting to attract manufacturers. Well, do we even have a place to put one?
Yeah, the map here, anything in dark blue, that's the heavy industrial. And then the other blues are the light industrial and the limited industrial. So you can see there might be some big splotches, but we've got some larger businesses there. It's here, a little bit here.
Last year, airport.
The one down below, that's the New River Power Plant, and then probably Townsend's facility.
So there's a little bit outside
of
Delma.
This is where what was occupied, vacant, and undeveloped would be useful, too.
Well, in Seaford, that's the
DuPont. I'm willing to bet you everything you're looking at there is already done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Existing. Everything's already done.
Well, when we get to the AB,
we're trying to solve some of that, that way.
This segues into another comment I had on the strategies, but since we're talking about it, I'd like to jump. I think this is an opportunity with whether it's the AB that we get to or the light industrial or maybe some other things. Ag preservation, at the council level, there's been a real concern about spending county money that's not open to the public. If we're using public funds, it should be open to the public. I want to I know we jumped ahead, but it ties to what they said. It's objective 5.5.3, which talks about increasing the acreage of permanently preserved farm and farm and forest land in the county. Ag preservation, I think, can be used to create buffers that incentivizes AB or even industrial, where you're using public funds to preserve farmland and open space that not only promotes economic development, because then you have an industrial or agribusiness area that it knows won't be developed around it because you've got preserved lands, and then it keeps the residential properties away from the agribusiness
as a buffer.
You know, so it kind of does a lot of good things. I know it's not public access, but it protects the public and protects economic growth.
Yeah, I'm a little puzzled by their insistence on public.
That seems to be what keeps coming up.
Are they, now, this is direct land purchases they're talking about?
I think it's easement
purchases, development rights.
No,
the easements and
civil fee acquisition.
And, you know, just spending the money a lot of
times. But the thing in the ag preservation is that a few years ago they had this debate about the application of wastewater or whatever, and they've got that, they cleared that hurdle, so you can do that and on ag preservation districts where the easements have been purchased. So if you put your industrial sites away from the residential areas and you surround them with ag preservation districts, now you have sites available for land application of the wastewater generated by your industrial activities. So, you know, one protects the other, works the other, and it really works well together. And plus those things are some distance away from your high residential areas, which is makes sense. You don't want those heavier industrial uses adjacent to, that's where we have conflicts. And so this all makes sense, and we'll get over that hurdle, I guess, at some point.
But if we could add that as a strategy,
yeah,
you know, just
so
it would be something like coordinate agricultural preservation acquisitions with other uses, you know, such as agribusiness or, you know, industrial or whatever.
More intense uses.
Yeah.
Or
coordinate agricultural preservation acquisition with other
current and future adjacent uses.
Okay.
Something like that.
Current.
And since we're all
future.
Because I don't know that council's ever, maybe they have, I don't know. I'm not in those discussions all the time, but I don't know that they've ever thought about that coordinated effort, you know.
Well, I think that's something that we could work on and kind of offer it up to them too, you know, rather than waiting for them to think of it. Maybe we can.
Well, that's why I wanted to get it in here, because I don't,
make it part of our work here, and then let them take it up, you know, as part of the plan, maybe.
So would that also then be a new conservation strategy?
Probably, I think
so we'll just need to.
Because in that area, it cites back to conservation and
intergovernmental coordination,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all planning. This is all part of what we're supposed to be doing. So let's go ahead and do it and offer it up to them and get them to consider it.
Alexis, on 6313, which is just above the one we just...
5-5-2.
Just above the 5-5-3. There's a strategy 6-3.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Is it under... What's the objective?
Strategy. It's right above 5-5-3.
Right above the one we just discussed.
I have them in the PowerPoint.
It's under 5.5.2.
Okay, that's
it's
funny.
The third one down for, it's the second one under 6, economic.
6313, I found it, okay.
Okay.
I mean, I had a problem with this originally, and I still do, because of trying to define what a large-scale agricultural operation is, number one. And number two, under our current code, commercial agricultural activities are permitted in the AR zone, so I don't see where we have a need for it. So I'm just concerned that we'll end up having to define what that is.
Large scale.
And number two, I don't think we really need it.
So strike that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
and I'll coordinate with our sub on that too, from that element.
Now there's other reference
I mean, there's other
reference earlier about manufactured food processing, which is necessary. And they're already in here. It's somewhere earlier in our objectives, so I can't remember which one.
I think the sentiment's right, but I agree with you. The way that's worded, it starts sounding like, well, then what are you excluding?
It's already permitted, number one, and then you don't have to try to define what large is.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just gets you into a a bailiwick you don't need to be into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've already addressed the food processing in another section here somewhere.
And sort of what we're trying to, I think, get to is the one right above it, which was the economic development 6.3.1.2, ensure zoning regulations accommodate agribusiness uses mm-hmm. at appropriate locations. Yeah.
And this is natural to get the two crossed over. You know, you grow the chickens and you bring them to the plant. And at that point, they are one. So.
Right.
So I got you completely off track with my whole conversation.
No, that's okay. yeah, I was going to see what the group wanted to do with our remaining time. With.
Can I? This is one. And I want to go back to have a discussion with the commission and probably it will require some input from Janelle as far as what the state wants.
Mm-hmm.
5.2.2 cited to enter, which was consider land use decisions in light of the Delaware strategies for state policy and spending. And it talked about coordinating with OSPC to confirm that future boundaries of state priority spending areas match growth area delineations described in the comprehensive plan update. I mean, on the one hand, I guess, you know, we're not going to put a developing area, maybe, you know, out in the middle of a level four that doesn't connect to anything. But on the other hand, those maps are changing all the time, and we get ourselves boxed in.
Who draws the line first, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who draws the line first? I mean, we...
Well, this is exactly the problem, and this is what I was, you know, talking about in mobility earlier, is that... You know, commerce occurs across large boundaries in the county because we have such a large county and we have a lot of agriculture. And so let's say we develop an AB overlay and it's away from a growth area, but we still have to run the transportation there. But guess what? Strategy and state spending says no. But we're going to have to accommodate that because we need that manufacturing base because we can't afford to lose ag.
And after... You wanted my input, so
Right.
I've talked to the state about this, and especially when they were looking at, they updated the state strategies and spending the last time.
It's
2015. And the county had input, and, you know, and then based on it, it's like, hey, we're going through our comprehensive plan, and they go, they will they can yell at me if they want later, but they will recognize our comprehensive plan that... They'll take that into consideration when projects move forward. So if we're not completely consistent, hopefully we're not putting, like, you know, a high density in the middle of a level four. But if it's not, if maybe we're putting that high density in like maybe a level two that's turning into a level three or level three or something, they'll recognize that. And then when they update in 5 years or 3 years now, they'll use our current comprehensive plan and information as part of their update.
So if we put an AB overlay out here for industrial type uses, then they'll recognize that the next time they do their state strategy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they will go back and say, because lots of towns and counties and through, not just in Sussex County but throughout the state, so we're all on a different cycle. So they'll recognize, you know, what we're looking to do in our comprehensive plan, and then when they adopt, go through the next plan, they'll use the most recent comprehensive plan land use information to help them develop their, as one of the categories and components to the state strategies and spending.
Is there a mechanism by which the state can update or amend their policy in response to something that we have going on? Because I appreciate what you're saying. My thought is, though, if we, especially with the AB overlay or zone or whatever, however we end up doing it, where it is certainly possible to have a large business use occurring in a primarily agricultural area, we want to be able to get traffic to and from that place, and if it's not. If it's in an area that's not in the, you know, in the state's plan, we have to wait 5 years till they're in sync with each other, or how would that work?
No, I think we could, as long as it's adopted properly, and again, that's why we have all the different agencies working together.
Right.
As long as we're all on the same page, the Office of State Planning Coordination would recognize our plan, you know, and then they would take that into their consideration, and all the other departments would take that into consideration as they make decisions about funding and other processes that they go through.
Before Josh comes up, I would like that in the plan. It is our, you know, a sentence or something that says, it is our understanding from speaking with state agencies that the state agencies will review our future land use maps and the text of our plan to evaluate modifications to their state strategies.
That's kind of where I was going. If that's the case, then we need some kind of coordination statement in our plan.
Yeah.
And that's the whole intergovernmental coordination chapter.
Yeah,
now,
but
they're not going to
specifics say that in a sense.
But that's not the only place you want it said, though. You're going to want it where this
future land use.
Yeah, you want it in this element as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The one thing they're not going to do is amend the state strategies and spending based on our comprehensive plan, because I can tell you there's at least five other towns in Sussex County. There's Kent County currently. So they'd be constantly updating the state strategies and spending, and that's what they've informed me is that's why they do it every 5 years, but they will recognize that, you know, our comprehensive plan no longer matches the state strategy spending because we have gone through the process. But they won't amend the state strategies, but they will recognize the county's or the town's comprehensive plans.
I think we need to have that in there, because so often we get from the state that it's, you know, when things are in level four, that the county wants to do the state, not DLDOT, you know, but it's the state planning coordination, they will say it's inconsistent with state strategy spending because it's in level four. And so that it's always been my advice to you all, as you know, that if you're going to act favorably on an application that's in level one or two, don't reference level one or two, because you can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, this is good because it's level one or two, because then you got to deal with, well, then what about whatever you did in level four? So that's why I think it's important to make sure we've got that coordination statement in there.
It's inevitable, in my mind, that if the AB works the way it's supposed to, that situation's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That situation's going to happen. So we just might as well head that off at the pass, so to speak, and have some statement or at least have some understanding of how we're going to coordinate this.
And I think it's just as important. And I'm not saying it also to, you know, deal with the state agencies, but the public needs to understand that as well, because so often the public comes in on a land use application and talks about, well, this is in a level four, you can't do that, you know, and it's a sort of, that's a guidance tool, but it's not the end all and be all for how the county operates. So,
Josh Thomas with DLDOT. So first of all, I think that your idea to have that statement in the plan is a really good idea, and that actually, I mean, you got my gears turning, and we might have to address that in the mobility element as well, and sort of address the piece that we need to address in each element, how they relate together. So that's something we can talk about more. But just a general comment from DLDOT's perspective. I mean, the state strategies, obviously, we don't want to do anything that's like grossly against the state strategies. But as Janelle said, I mean, it's one factor, and, you know, it's one of the criteria that we look at. And obviously, there's other, we take all the other plans, you know, that have been adopted into consideration. So so they kind of have to have merit of some kind. And we would prioritize that project based on any of that merit. So if it's something that that state planning takes an exception to, says, okay, well, this was in your comp plan and there's a reason why we're doing that, obviously we're partnering with state planning, then we would, you know, that would be kind of evidence, okay, here's the merit for that project, or here's why we're moving forward with that. So so I guess if it helps the discussion any, if it's something that kind of has no merit outside of that, then we would say, well, you know, there's really no justification for us moving forward. But if it has justification in another way, then it's something that can still be considered. But I do think it's a very good idea to address how that situation might work in the plan, because having it spelled out is obviously a good strategy versus making it ambiguous. So hopefully that helps.
Anything
else?
on that point. Do you have anything else?
No, I just want to put a big star next to it because that just seems to come up. And that's great that you all have had that conversation. I just, like, again, sort of try to memorialize.
Okay. So I'll work with Janelle to find a way to word it. And we'll put it, it sounds like, in a couple different elements. We'll outline that.
Well, because I think, isn't it, at least in the old future land use, isn't that where we really talked about
state strategies? Strategies? Yeah. There's actually a state strategies map in the future land use element. Yeah.
So, I mean, and you're right. It touches on all, maybe five or six other ones. But because that's where the bulk of that conversation is, that's probably where it, the most of the reference to it should be.
Okay. So I'm not going to go through the strategies one by one, but when this group received these and looked through them, are there other ones you have questions about or are there things missing that haven't been talked about through other chapters that are future land use related? You know, we've got the agribusiness information that got pulled over from conservation and economic development. Different styles of...
I'm good.
I didn't have any. I don't have any notes.
So. We'll let that go where it's at for now, other than it's just a couple changes we just made. Before we got the...
We have 13 minutes left before public comment.
Do you have additional stuff?
The only thing I had just, if we wanted to look at the online map, we could today. I do have to get the Sussex GIS department, the layer that I made that I was telling you guys about where I overlaid the CPCNs and the building permits, and then we can talk about that at a future workshop. But we do have these if you want to look at that. And then also, yeah, that was just showing what I did, just explaining that for the developing areas.
Well, in regards to future land use, let's go ahead and work on the chart.
Yes, I have a little list of things, next steps. So it was updating that table, or making a new table, essentially.
Right, just make a new one.
I need to get the areas of opportunity from the Delaware State Housing Authority, which I have, over to the GIS department at the county to put on that online map so we can look at it and turn things on and off. I need to get them the developing areas analysis that we did. Did you want the percent breakdown on the zoning districts, Bob? I think that was your point.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Was
okay.
How much was available?
How much is available? I'm really interested in what's available because that's going to tell us what we need to be, you know, where we need to be.
Specifically in the LI1, LI2, and the H.
Available.
You know, more concerned about those three, the HI, the LI1, LI2.
And then if you got something on commercial, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be nice to have. But
that would be either undeveloped or vacant.
Okay. So I guess I could overlay the zoning
the aerial.
What's that?
The aerial.
The aerial or the, so we have the developed areas map from the existing land use. But that, so we had updated that using the certificates of occupancy.
Yeah, but most of our industrial is older.
So you think we'll have to look at the aerial?
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be a...
It's not going to be
a simple analysis.
To be perfectly honest, there's not much industrial out there.
I think the basis is going to be, just so we know, there's not much. It's not going to be specifically the number. It's going to be there's very little.
I think
so we can get you. We can easily get you the number of what percentage acreage and percentages are zoned that. But to look at the aerials on a parcel by parcel basis is going to take some time.
I bet you it won't. There's hardly any. I mean,
I think the commercial.
I'm talking about commercial. Be big. I mean,
yeah, no, commercial would be
the industrial is.
Yeah, I was thinking
built?
The LI.
So
built.
Industrial,
well, let's just
industrial.
Focus then on the LI1, LI2, and HR. Is that easier for you?
HI.
LI1, LI2, and HI? Yeah. Take a look at those?
Yeah, just the industrial.
So I was worried about the commercial.
No, I understand.
Right.
The commercial is an undertaking. The other three shouldn't take a whole lot of time.
Right. Okay.
And that's going to give us a basis, and I think it's a great idea, Bob, because that'll give us a basis to explore the AB zones or AB overlay. And include some of those uses there.
One of the things we have to keep in mind when we're thinking about those three classifications is that the towns have a fair amount of that covered. But even the individual towns are. I mean, the industrial parks are full. There really just isn't much. And I do think there's a role for the county to play in this. And that's why I think we need to know what we've got and at least. so that when we do our future land use map, we can identify the areas that would be appropriate for those three zoning classifications. Because I really think we need to do that, because you're going to find, I'll bet there's not 100 acres of,
no.
I'll bet there's not 50 acres of HI.
If it is, it's all in one place.
Yeah. I can tell you, I know of three parcels, and none of them are bigger than 10 acres. Mm-hmm. And that's all I know, you know, that are out there that are zoned to HI. Mm-hmm. And HI, by its nature, normally requires a large, you know, heavy industrial users. Mm-hmm. Not going to go on an acre of ground.
Nope.
You know.
So. And you won't be able to buffer it properly.
Yeah. So.
You good?
Yeah, that's on my to-do list.
Okay.
For at least a future land use for next steps. Was there any other next steps on future land use? I have a couple changes to strategies that we talked about as well.
Okay. I wanted to spend just 2 or 3 minutes. I know you sent out the population numbers.
Yeah.
Not that we have to be definitive today, but mm-hmm. we have to start thinking about this. There's a disparity in numbers, obviously, not just on population, but it's more importantly on the jobs numbers and the economic development element. I think, and I'm going from memory, one set of numbers was like 700 jobs a year for the 10-year period, and another one was 1,700 or so jobs per year in a 17-year period, from 7,000 to 17,000. It's a big, big difference. There was a call for a reduction in manufacturing by some, I don't know, 5 or 8%, I can't recall. And jobs, and so, you know, we're going to have to come to grips with these population numbers and the workforce numbers, because they impact mobility and future land use so much.
And economic development.
And economic development. so, I don't know, you know, I don't know that we have to pick and choose between one or the other. We can.
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask Vince about this, because I seem to remember that there's, and this might shorten the discussion substantially. Are the population numbers we have to use prescribed by law?
That has to be the minimum. It says population, demographic, environment, and economic data and projection used to determine present conditions, future land use, and public facility requirements shall be developed in conjunction with the state and municipalities, and shall, as a minimum, be based on, consistent with projections officially adopted by the Delaware Population Consortium.
So that
sources and assumptions shall be.
The state told us we did have to use the numbers.
Such projections shall be clearly identified.
We have to use them as a starting off point.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think that's going to be
That's
not a problem.
Back to Bob's point, though, that sort of answers the question. We've got to reference them in the plan. We've got to have them as a minimum, but there's no reason why we couldn't expand
it. Sure, like a range.
I don't see why we should have to choose between the two. We should be able to use both to some extent. Yeah. I mean,
I think where it matters is in counties where there's a shortage of available land. And there's plenty of land here. We know that.
Yeah.
So in areas where there's not a lot of available land, you use the population projections and you would show that there's enough growth areas for that future population. But even at the, you know, maximum, these high numbers, there's plenty of land for that.
The way the thinking can run or could run is that the numbers that are prescribed in the statute kind of form the baseline. That's sort of like the minimum. But we can certainly, in our thinking, incorporate, you know, higher numbers and even reference them. I mean, to talk about the fact that there have been other, you know, other studies done that it might indicate, you know, especially in terms of jobs and so on. It can enter into our thinking, is what I'm saying.
Well, in my way of thinking, I mean, tell me if this logic is.
It's not on the agenda, so I didn't want to get too far into
it. Yeah, we want to save the discussion.
I mean, we're not going to make a decision, of course, but.
Well, we're really not supposed to be discussing it too much.
Well, in my way of thinking, Alexis, I mean, are we better? I mean, we're not going to have an exact number. We don't know an exact number. We're predicting the future. But are we better off than this with a higher number and plan for more people, or are we better off than this with a lower number and plan for less? I mean, which is the best side to err on?
I think the problem's going to come is that
we have to justify it.
We have to justify it, and everyone else in the state has to use the population consortium numbers, and I think it might become a problem with DelDOT.
DelDOT and their traffic
because
models.
Because DelDOT can't use different numbers than the population
well,
consortium, if I'm
about
correct.
DelDOT and that a little bit. But I mean, Josh, I mean, you're welcome.
But I think we might want to just do this discussion maybe on next Monday.
I get that part, but let's get
let's put it on the agenda for next month.
For next Monday.
Let's do it then. Yeah. Let's do it then, because those are going to be important things to hear about. But I still say that with those numbers can still be in your head when you're making
One
decisions stuff, yeah. when you're figuring things out.
Okay, we've got 4 minutes, so we can plan next Monday's agenda, right?
Yes. So we're going to put population numbers on the agenda.
Population numbers up front.
And then do you want to dig into land use?
Yeah.
I do, but I'd like to see if we can. Do you think we can put utilities to
yeah,
us?
Yeah. So was I waiting on changes from? So I have the changes we talked about with Hans, the minor changes. Were you guys looking at it again or something?
Did we get it?
We have. I
don't know that I have the latest.
You gave me. Oh well.
Because I know I gave you comments.
You
back.
Gave me comments a while ago.
Could just somebody re-email me the?
Yeah, we'll
get it put
back
it on.
Out.
That's fine. We'll go be able to go back.
I didn't know if you guys were gonna like look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand,
oh,
they were.
I was just supposed to go through it and see.
Just
if there
go through
any,
it and see
yeah.
if
there's
any
data.
Any verbiage, a little bit here and there.
And I think you said it was okay.
That was yeah, I didn't.
And then
she was okay with it, and I already got your edits.
Yeah, but I don't know that I got.
I just have to make the edits from Hans, which he's taken out that table and a couple other things.
Well, yeah, then shoot it to me.
So you want the revised?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put utilities on then.
So let's put utilities on and try to put that to rest. Is there any chance of putting Parks and Rec to rest? Is that
the only thing where I could see a hang up is the question, Marty, about the use of parks. You wanted to try to quantify how many users are using the state parks. I'd have to reach out to Denrick on that.
Is that going to be difficult? Or?
I just don't know.
Well, can we do this? Can you just put a placeholder for that?
We'll put it on the
yeah.
agenda,
for like
and if we only spend 2 minutes,
minutes
on it,
then,
we spend 2
sure.
minutes on it.
Okay.
Because what we can do, if there's a placeholder for that, you know, we can kind of, if it's on the agenda, sort of come to sort of an agreement, that's okay, get it on the website. You know, there's no reason why we can't come back to it at the end of all this.
We're going to have to go back to a couple chapters mm-hmm. anyway. Like, for instance, community design, we're going to add about the universal design for the housing, which we talked about with the housing element. So there's a new strategy that's going to be added to that, which is on the website now. Some of the chapters will have to have some tweaks as we keep going through the process here.
And then have we heard anything back for economic development?
I'm just beginning that today, so I need to check to see if he sent that to me. So I'll need to look at it, and then hopefully what he's giving me is in good shape, and then I can get it to the three
great.
Of them.
In word,
the,
right? That's
in
what
word, yes.
And conservation would be the other one.
Conservation, we're working on that. We're trying to wrap that one up next.
So
we're pretty
we'll
far
do,
along with that.
We'll do population. We'll do water and wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to revisit
Parks and Rec.
I don't know.
And then land use.
And then land use will come back to that.
Land use with the, I'm going to work on these things we talked about with the
table.
Table
and then other items.
Okay, and then we'll do conservation.
And then your homework is to go back and look at the land use map and kind of look at those guidelines and then try to think of where you kind of want to go forward.
Yeah, and I would remind everybody that, you know, Monday is only a week away. So if you want to sit down individually with Vince, then you have 4 or 5 days to do it. He just sits there in his office. I stopped in there several times.
Yeah,
he just sits there, you know.
Me too.
The door to
playing
knock.
Candy Crush on his phone.
Phone ring. That's right.
Are we good?
No, that's fine.
Yeah. We good on that one?
So is it a full? Are we doing a 9 to 3
9
again?
9 to 3, because I think
on Monday.
A lot of it's going to be land use.
Land use, okay.
Future land use.
Okay.
Okay, great.
And then we're at...
2:30.
We good for public comment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.